Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, Lord?" And what does it mean when you see Lord, Lord? Is he stumbling over his words?
Lord.
What is it saying, Jer?
More.
That's it.
Emphasis.
Emphasis. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it was not shaken. It could not be shaken, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. Against the stream beating vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What's he telling us? Jesus is revealing secrets that will make you successful in life. That's what he's doing here. That if we will do the sayings of Jesus, if we will do what he says, if we will put into practice and obey the word of God, so that when the floods happen and the torrents are violent, tumultuous, or overwhelming type of storm, when it bursts against your life, that storm will not be able to shake your foundation, because your foundation is built on the word of God, on doing the word of God. Now, there are people who think that this scripture is referring to someone who's saved and someone who's not. But that's not the case. Both of them knew the truth. Both of these people knew the truth. However, only one chose to do or to obey what Jesus said. Only one chose to implement the word. Both lives were hit by the storms. Because you believe the word of God, it doesn't exempt you from storms. They come, regardless. But the Bible says that these storms didn't shake the first person. It didn't destroy their lives. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it says it could not. Verse 48 here. Building a house, dug deep, laid the foundation. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. It could not shake it. It couldn't shake it. Because that person built a foundation on doing the word of God, of implementing the word of God. The second person, who heard the same things, didn't implement the word, didn't obey the word, didn't do the word. And so when the storms came, which they will, of course, it destroyed them. The storms wiped them out, because their foundation was not built on the words of doing the words of Jesus Christ. But it is impossible to destroy the person who is doing what Jesus said. Now, what are these storms? What are they? Any idea? What are the storms? They could be
sickness.
Yep. Sorry, a little louder.
University.
Okay. Could be. Yeah. Could be financial. It could be anything. Storms come in every form. Every form. Personal attacks.
Sin.
Rejection. Yep. All kinds of storms. All kinds of them. And yet the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 54, I believe. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Ever feel like, oh yeah? Look at my life. No weapon formed against you will prosper. See, that's not an unconditional promise. It is conditional. But the storms, when they come, in fact, Jesus said, it's impossible that offenses don't come. Did he say that? I wonder why he said that. It's impossible that offenses won't come. Maybe because he knew people. He knew. And yet if we will act on the principles of God's word, it will mean having to do things that we don't particularly enjoy doing necessarily. What do I mean? Well, I mean things like praying for your enemies. In fact, we're in Luke here 6, so let's look and see what it has here. Verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Is that hard to do? Sure it is. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It's hard to do. We want to hate our enemies. That's what we want to do. And yet, if we yield to that feeling, what happens? We move into darkness. Who's the ruler of darkness? The devil. And so what happens is we move into his territory where he is the ruler. And of course, he is more than happy to encourage us to be hateful. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. How is it possible to do that? How is it possible? Is it possible?
Yes.
Do many people do this? Why not?
Their flesh doesn't want to.
That's true. And yet we read the doing. This is one of the sayings of Jesus. Is there an advantage in doing this?
Yes.
What is the advantage?
Keep your own heart pure.
Keep your own heart pure. What advantage is there in that? Yes, so what's the, come on. I'm looking for something here. Come on. You're right on the right track. The pure in heart will see God. Pure in heart will see God. The pure in heart will see God. They'll connect to God. But the heart that is filled with animosity and hatred and bitterness and vengeance, what will that get?
Hard.
Hard. It's hard to plant seed in hard soil, isn't it? But see, if we start to pray for our enemies genuinely, you know, and I realize the first time we pray for them, we may not have a great deal of enthusiasm. You know, we pray, God, please bless Charlie a little bit. And maybe tomorrow we pray a little bit more, and within a month or two, we're just saying, God, bless Charlie. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man or woman's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a pretty strong promise, isn't it? When a person's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Absolutely. And then you see, God will bless that. God will bless that. If we will endeavor to pursue actively embracing the Word of God, even in difficult areas, it'll release the blessing of God into your life. I know this from the Word, and I know this from practical application. As most of you know, I had the opportunity of working with Satan's sister, and it was a difficult time. But through the grace of God, he was able to work and do wonderful things, but it took time. It took time. And it takes a dedicated decision to follow through. God will help us. The Lord will help us. See, the person who built their house on the ground without the foundation of doing the work, without the foundation of doing the works of Jesus, the words of Jesus, what happened is that that word had no strength. It had no strength whatsoever. Many people are trying to use the Word of God as a formula, a confession formula. Without embracing the principles behind that word. See, the wise person, he dug deep. He dug deep, deep. And what happened then is that he didn't just come to the Word of God. Rather, he went through that word to the person of the Lord Jesus himself. They connected to the person of Christ. The person. If you don't connect to the person of Jesus, that word can't go too deep. We've got to connect to the source of life, to the author of this word. We have to put deep roots. Deep roots. In fact, Isaiah 37 verse 1 says, they will take root downward and then bear fruit upward. See, the person who builds his house on confession only, they're going to get washed away because confession is just words. Just words. It has to become living and real within us. The Word of God has to be fully embraced, not used as a commodity. And the way we do that is by connecting to the author of those words, Jesus. His Word and Himself cannot be separated. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. Now the wonderful thing is that Jesus wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed. God wants you and I to succeed. Such that the one who digs deep and puts his roots deep into the sayings of Jesus, that person will be able to stand when the storms come. Because the word's living and real. It's a living word on the inside of you. It's not just knowledge. Knowledge by itself won't get us through. When the flood comes, the doer of the word will stand, and the other one won't. That's what it's teaching us here. He'll wash away because he didn't dig deep and lay the proper foundation. The foundation is doing the Word of God. The foundation is obedience. Obedience. Many of us know way more than we do. Way more. It's not that we need more knowledge. We need to implement the things that we do know. Now, some people believe that the storms of life come to make us stronger. You know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's not scriptural. In fact, let's have a look-see here at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Who'd like to read that, Bev? Thank you. Luke 8, 22 to 25.
Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the wind and the water, and they obeyed him.
Amen. So what did Jesus say? What was it that Jesus said? Did he say, let's perish in the middle of the lake? What did he say? Let's go over to the other side. All of us. But see, the disciples, they let that word get away from them. The devil was able to steal that word right out from under their nose. So how did Jesus deal with this? Well, verse 24, he spoke the word. He spoke the word. Now he spoke to, who did he speak the word to? Say that again. Wind. He spoke to?
The wind and the raging of the water.
Who did Jesus speak to?
Wind.
Now it's interesting, you know, he didn't pray to the Father and say, Father, we're in trouble, please help us do something. He didn't gather a conference and said, what do you think we should do? He didn't ask for anybody's opinion. He spoke to the wind and the water. Say that out loud. Jesus spoke to the wind and the water. Now why do we need to say that? Because we have such a hard time. You know, we think people who speak to the wind and water are nuts. If someone said to you, I was in a storm, but I spoke to the storm, told it to stop in Jesus' name, what do we think? Come on, what do you, if you told your office workers, you know, I was in a storm this weekend, you know, it was pretty bad, water was coming all over the boat, looked like we were going to go under. But I stood up and I rebuked it in Jesus' name and said, the wind stops and water stops.
They would roll their eyes and think you're fake.
Yeah, that's if anybody had the courage to do it. But pretty well, 999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 up in front of your co-workers and say that? It's a rhetorical question, so don't feel obliged to answer. But ask yourself, would I do that? Would I speak that word in front of everybody and risk what they might think of me? And yet, what does God think of us when we don't? What does God think of us when we don't? He asked the disciples, where's your faith? Well, their faith left on the wings of unbelief when they said, we are perishing. There's their faith. They believed they were perishing. So they had faith. Just not in Jesus and not in the Word of God. They had faith that they would perish, and guess what?
They would have.
God would have honored their faith. And then they came to Jesus and told Jesus what the devil was doing. That's what they did. They came to Jesus and said, this is what's going on. Why did Jesus come to this earth? Why?
To destroy the works of the enemy.
Where does it say that? Yeah. Chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, was this storm a work of the devil? Hard question, eh? No, it's not. Do you know why it's not a hard question? The reason it's not a hard question is, what did Jesus do? He rebuked the storm. So here's the Father up in heaven saying, "Storm, storm, storm," and Jesus going, "Stop, stop, stop." Can you see that?
No.
No. So who sent the storm? The enemy. See how simple I was? It's not hard. If Jesus is against it, God the Father didn't order it. Be assured of that. God the Father and Jesus the Son are one mind. They do not fight each other. They don't ever. See, this storm, God didn't send it to perfect their faith. In fact, it didn't perfect their faith, did it? The devil stole their faith because they allowed his circumstances to get into their mouth. That's what they did. So if the storm was of the Father, then Jesus was destroying the works of the Father. I don't think Jesus does that.
So, Pastor, a question about James, who says, "Consider it pure joy when you fall into a new trial, knowing that the test of your faith, this is a test, they didn't pass it, but they learned in the process."
Did they?
"To persevere after they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, especially, right? But I mean, trials enable us to see where we're at in faith.
What is the purpose of it? Let's look at James, because James will tell you exactly why. James will tell you exactly why. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. What is the purpose to count it all joy when you fall into various trials? What is the purpose? Well, we go on to read, and it says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, patience, perseverance." Okay. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." So the purpose, see the answer? You answer your own question.
I'm just saying, would that be an example of that, your storm?
Of course. And when the storms come, and they will come, well, the storms come because the enemy is trying to rob us.
Amen.
He comes only to steal, kill, destroy. If he can steal the word out of your heart, he'll do so. If he can kill you, he'll do so. And if he can destroy you, he'll do so.
Amen.
But the word, you see, the word in James, well, we go back to James here. I think it's chapter 1, verse 18 or 20. Receive with meekness. What's meekness? What another word we could use for meekness?
Humility.
Humility. Receive with humility the...
Amen.
You know, isn't it interesting? He doesn't just say receive the word. Why doesn't he say just receive the word?
Because it's too superficial.
See, the word has to be planted. It has to be planted. That's why it says, receive with humility the implanted word. If it's not planted, it won't do anything for you. It's got to be planted. Which is able to save or sozo your soul. What's your soul? Your mind, will, and your emotions. Do we need help in our mind, will, and emotions?
Yes.
We do. Mental health today is a big, huge, enormous problem. We need help. The Word of God says it can save that. It can heal that. It can make it whole. But it must be planted. If it's not planted, it won't work. How do we plant it? How do we plant it? How do we, for example, someone in your family needs help, and they don't particularly want help or see the need for it. What can you do? What can you do? Okay. God, do something. Amen. Is that good? Is that good? Why not? What do you do?
Pray for the blind who speak often.
Say again?
Pray that they'll see the blind who speak often.
That's one of the things we can do. Do you remember the list we talked about, what you can do? When we're praying for someone who doesn't care, we have to assume the role of caring for them. So we pray very specifically for them. Very specific. Praying God do something isn't going to do a thing. We need to pray very specifics what we want to see happen. Without witchcraft, you can't take over somebody's will, but you can pray the word over them. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can pray for salvation. Taking away the blinders, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So we can pray for that. We can begin to pray for God's word to work within them. For example, if it's your children, you can, when they're not home, go into their bedroom, lay hands on their pillow, and pray the word there. Pray God as they sleep tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart and bring such a revelation of the love of Jesus that you will touch them deeply, Lord. And I release the word of peace and mercy over them. I'd say, Lord, that they take away the blinders as they sleep, that they will awaken with a fresh revelation. You pray the word. You pray the word. How often do you have to pray the word, by the way? All the time. All the time. Till it's done. You pray till it's done. Or until the Spirit of God tells you it's done. Either one. You pray till it's done. You know, Jesus, when he stood up and he rebuked the wind, he prayed till it stopped. He didn't say, I rebuke you, wind, and then went and sat down and said, I hope this happens. He got the job done. He got the job done. See, I believe it's Mark here, it tells us very clearly the role of the evil one. Yes, Mark 4:15. The sower sows the word, that's 14. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown. Now, if you read other portions of Scripture that go with that, it will tell you that when they hear the word and they don't really get it right away, because most of us don't get it right away. We hear something and have to hear it many times in many different ways before it starts to become real. In the meantime, the devil does everything he can to steal that word. We need to act on the word of Christ. We need to build that solid foundation because the storms are coming. They have come. They will continue to come. That's the one thing in this life. While we live here, you see, it's foolish to say God's in control. Whatever his will is, his will is. That's not scriptural at all. That's not scriptural. And it is not appropriate to just accept bad things as being the will of God. But in order to pray with any sense of faith and accuracy, we need to know what the Word of God says. We need to know what the will of God is. What is God's will in this area? So when you are facing something, you need to go to the Word and say, what's God's will here? What's His will? What does God's Word say about that? Because that will give you a starting point for faith. Because if you're not sure, you'll waver. You'll waver. That's just normal. Till you're convinced, we waver. And you know what James says about the person who wavers? They don't get anything. God will allow what you allow. God will allow what you allow. That sounds harsh, but it's true. God will, because you have a free will. You have a free will. You have a free, now he doesn't want you to be broke and sick and unhappy and having all kinds of dilemma. He doesn't want that. But he's given us a way to resolve it. But it takes commitment. It takes a real commitment. And it takes humility. It takes the humility to stand up in front of people and say, I'm believing God. And I don't mean one time. I mean as a lifestyle. That I'm speaking his word into my life. And until I see it come to pass, I'm going to keep speaking it. I'm going to keep speaking it. I'm going to keep speaking it. I need to get God's word on my situation. I need to make sure that my hands are clean and my heart is pure, because sometimes the word doesn't work in us because we're rebellious. You know, we say to God, I want you to do this, this, and this. And God says to us, okay, but I want to talk to you about your attitude towards Charlie. No, I don't want to talk about that. I just want you to do this, this, and this. But until we deal with what God wants to deal with us, it's a blockage. It's a blockage. How do I know that to be true? Because Scripture is very clear. Very clear. God doesn't even hear our prayers then. What you speak regularly will greatly influence and possibly determine to a great degree what happens to you. So God's done his part. He's done his part. And the Bible tells us that Satan is always looking for somebody to hurt. He's looking for someone, in fact, I think the word is devour. I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for someone that he can devour. How do you resist him? The word. The Bible says resist him steadfast in the faith or in the word of God. But you've got to fill your mind with the word. Colossians 3:16, and I'll wrap this up here, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's not enough just to let the word dwell in you. It has to have wisdom. Without wisdom, the word just becomes a big bat to beat people with. We need wisdom. Wisdom tells us how to operate and implement the word of God. That's probably enough for today. This will keep. Bottom line, we need to do what we read. We need to read it, we need to think about it, and we need to embrace it and do it. If we'll do that, Jesus said we'll be successful. Amen? So, Lord, we